Thank you, brothers. Hallelujah. It's good to be here this morning. It's a little cold outside, but feels all right in here. And feels kind of comfortable in here. And so we are able to have church. Amen. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for how you moved in the song service, Lord, and how you are blessing the people, Lord. And now we come to this part of the service, Lord, where we come, Lord, for you to break the bread of life to us. I pray, dear God, that may, Lord, your anointed presence be here with us, dear God, and upon your word, Lord, and may, Lord, that our hearts be quickened to your word, I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me, if you would, into your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. And I want to read verses 16 and 17. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Amen. You may be seated. What I want to speak on, or begin a series on, is the purpose of angels. And some years ago, I spoke some things on, spoke some things about this, but I just felt it in my heart to go and to begin to study and to bring some messages on what the purpose of angels are. And if you remember a couple of Sundays ago when we was preaching on election, we brought in some things about angels. We brought in some things about their categories and their ranking and the different types of angels that there were. We brought in about seraphims and cherubims and archangels, and then the Bible talks about mighty angels and the different rankings of angels. And we said that when Lucifer fell and the angels that followed him were cast down with him, why, they kept their same rank, even though they became evil spirits instead of just angels, but they kept their same rank that they'd had before. And we brought out about how Daniel was praying, and an angel come to bring him the answer, but said the prince of Persia was set against him, and so he couldn't come through. He had to call for help. And then Michael, the archangel, comes down and begins to fight with the prince of Persia and allows this other angel of lower ranking then to get through and come to Daniel. And so the prince of Persia was an evil spirit, but it outranked the angel that was coming to bring the answer to prayer to Daniel. So that angel couldn't get through until Michael came down. All right. Brother Branham says in Christ the Mystery, he says, so my opinion, the first thing he made was angels. And then they worship him, and that made him God. And he started from there. Now then, when angels began to worship him, that was before there was even a molecule in the earth. There was nothing. It was all darkness. There was no sun, no moon, no stars, no nothing. Then he was God. He says in Abraham's covenant confirmed, he says he wasn't God to begin with, because God's an object of worship, so he created angels so he could be God. Then in this day, that day on Calvary, he says, Sin did not start on the earth. Sin started in heaven. Lucifer, the devil, was a condemned creature for his disobedience before he ever struck the earth. Sin began in heaven, where God put the angels and so forth upon the same basis he put human beings on. He's talking about free moral agency, where they can choose. The tree of life and the tree of knowledge, where man could make his choice. And when Lucifer was given the preeminence to make his choice, he wanted something better than God had. That started the trouble. Now in the Easter seal, Brother Branham says, and this is something I want to just show you how this slips in here. He said, God said in a day back in the beginning, he said, John Doe will be my servant, millions of years ago. Now John Doe was born in sin, shaped iniquity, came to the world speaking lies because he's immortal. But maybe he gets a little religious feeling and he'll go join a church. Maybe he'll join a Pentecostal church. I don't know. He might join anything. But let him get under the atmosphere of God once. See, John Doe is bound to recognize who his father is, and just as the eagle recognized who the mother was. It's got to realize it. Only that John Doe is God's attribute that became a word spoken. Then the Holy Spirit seeks that word out, and here it is. He calls him, gives him everlasting life, and brings him into the presence of God, God's word. Now, Brother Branham says that each of us are born under a certain sign. We're born under certain stars, and he says that speaks something of us and has something to do with us and how we are. And God, and he says that there are there's an angel standing there waiting for us to be born. And there's a spirit there, and he said, little spirit is just waiting for that body to come forth so we can go into that body. And there's the elect of God, and I'll read a quote later on. The elect of God are the ones who have angels. Everybody thinks everybody's got a guardian angel, and that's not so. Only the elect have, because they have a representation from that side. Now, God created, what we've read here, God created his whole family like a family of angels. And they started out as one great big happy family. And all of them serving God, all of them worshiping God, all in obedience, all in the categories and ranking that God had placed them, all of them operating according to the mode of operation God had ordained for angels. And then Lucifer became jealous and wanted to have better than what position that God had placed him in. And just to remind you, Lucifer was a cherub. In Romans, turn with me from Romans chapter 8. I want to read a few passages of scriptures here. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, Paul included in here angels. Angels are not capable, he said, of separating us from the love of God. Why would any angel want to separate us from the love of God? If any angel did, it would be a fallen angel. The angels of God, they are there to assist and help you. But it's the angels of darkness or evil spirits. They're there, like I said, Lucifer, as a cherub, he was there guarding the approach to God, just like God placed cherubs in the Garden of Eden to guard the way to the tree of life. Lucifer was a cherub that guarded the approach to God. Any other angel that was coming up before God, they had to first face Lucifer. And Lucifer, he guarded the way to God and could prevent any angel from approaching. And now in his fallen state, he tries to prevent you from getting through to God. Now, we're all familiar with this scripture. I'll just read it off for you. It's found in Ephesians 6 and 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, this is talking about wicked spirits in heavenly places. Now, in Psalms 78:49, and this was speaking of when Israel was in Egypt, in the land of Goshen, and right before they were coming out is what this is speaking of here in Psalms. He cast upon them the fierceness of his anger, talking about the Egyptians, of his anger and wrath and indignation and trouble by sending evil angels among them. If you would have seen when they were in Goshen and when the plagues were coming, if you could see into that other dimension, you would see that it was evil angels that was bringing about those plagues. So it speaks here of evil angels in Psalm 78:49. Brother Bram said, God uses evil spirits many times to work out his plan and his will. How many remembers the Bible's talking about there was evil spirit that after the spirit of God departed from Saul, an evil spirit come to trouble him. You remember that. And then they had brought David up there, and when David would play that anointed music on the harp, it would drive them evil spirits away from him. You see how much anointed music can do, anointed singing. Evil spirits can't stand that. The Bible says the angels are camped around about them that fear God. Worshiping of God will, the angels abide in that worship. It'll attract them. Brother Ram said, if you ever want to bring God on the scene, said, start singing about the blood. Yeah. In Judges 9, it said that God sent an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. The men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. So God, again, using an evil spirit. Now, anointed singing. That don't mean someone having the best voice. It doesn't mean that at all. It doesn't mean it. Anointed singing, it's not maybe necessarily a trained voice. Brother Branham spoke about some of them. He said they sing and sound like a calf dying with the cramps. That's what he said. But that isn't what brings, but somebody that's singing and knows what they're singing about. And that, as they sing, it touches their soul and in turn touches your soul. That's anointed singing. Now, sometimes God maybe doesn't apply an evil spirit directly to your life, but he may apply it to someone else, your boss, or somebody else in your family, or some other vessel, some vessel at Walmart, in order for it to torment you. Not God wants you to be tormented, but it's God. Many times God's tried to get our attentions with our pastor. He's tried to get our attentions with the evangelists coming through. He's tried to get our attention with the words that we heard. He's tried to get our attention and we just don't listen. So God will allow an evil spirit to come to trouble you, to get you to your knees where you'll pray. So looking, if you'll turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. Second Chronicles chapter 18 and verse 19. And the Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall on Ramoth Gilead? And one spake saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. And then came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said unto him, wherewith? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, thou shalt entice him, thou shalt also prevail, go out and do even so. So God will actually at times use even an evil spirit to bring about his word. He'll use a supernatural influence, a spiritual influence. God uses angels to spiritually influence his elect. Now, there are some people, he's talking about a lying spirit here that went down. There are some people that love to lie. And they know they're lying when they're lying. And I'm not talking about lying as far as you saying, did you do this? And they say, no. I'm talking about they'll make up things. They could be writers for the National Enquirer. That's just how much they love lying. And but you realize why that is. They've got a counterpart in another realm that is influencing them. There is a spirit that's influencing them to lie. It's a lying spirit. And the only way that person will get free of that is that spirit's got to be cast out. They can't help it. They can't do anything but lie because it's an evil spirit. But then you think about someone who's not the elect of God. Think about someone, and we can't look around and point and say this one's that and this one's that or the other. But I'm just saying, think about someone that was serpent seed. They're going to lie until they die because their representation, their counterpart, is this evil spirit. And that evil spirit was waiting on them, just waiting for its time. Now, there are people around the message that won't make it in the bride. We covered this under the messages of election. There's some, they're not going to be in the rapture. And there's some that even though they're, look, friends, when a message of God goes forth, Satan can't leave it alone. He's got to try to send out evil spirits, and they got to have vessels to work through in order to try to hinder the word. And if they can't hinder you from coming to the word, what they'll try to do is try to twist and warp it in a way to where it gets them way out in left field somewhere. And if you think about someone, would Satan bring some of his children, serpent seed, up around this message? Sure. Because he's wanting to create some kind of chaos, some kind of drama, and see what he can get people caught up in. Watch out for that drama stuff. Watch out for that. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Because demons work around in those realms, trying to paint things up and be bigger than what they are, trying to influence people. And you could pray for somebody like that until you blew in the face, and it wouldn't change them because they're not of God, and they've got a representation. As Brother Branham said, how many knows that you've got a representation in heaven, a theophany body? How many knows that? Amen. Well, those that are not the elect of God, or that I should put it this way, because when we went through the elect, we showed different categories and different things that God had. But those that are serpent seed, they've got a representation in the realm of hell. The realm of the evil spirits. Now, in the family of God, said angels, in the beginning he created angels so he'd be God. It gave him a further reason to express himself in time, and he gladly received their worship. When they fell, some one way or another, they prefer certain regions, certain areas, but they still remain in a kindred union. Brother Branham talking about this, and I'll read some of it for you. Brother Branham talking about this said, kindred spirits said, it's like birds of a feather flock together. Turn with me into the book. We're going to take a look at these kindred spirits. Turn with me into the book of Mark. Mark chapter 5. It's always a blessing when we go to a scripture that we know, that we've read, that we've heard preached out of, that we're so familiar with, and yet God opens up something just a little bit more to us out of it. Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea in the country of Gadareans. And when he come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broke in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. Now just hold your place there in Mark, because we're going to come back to it. But I want to read to you something Brother Branham said. This is in the Maniac of Gadara. He says, and I see him there that night crossing the sea. The waves are roaring. And what did that man take that chance after setting teaching all day and healing the sick? And we find him now out in a little ship coming across the sea. Because over in another land in Gadara, one soul was calling for him. Now notice that he said one soul was calling for him. This man that we all know, people refer to him as Legion because of what the devil said, that was the one soul. It was the only soul that got touched there. It was the only soul God went over there for to save. This was an elect soul that was over there, and yet it was bound by these spirits. But he says here, he says, there was one soul was calling for him. Now, how could that man's soul be calling for it? The angels of God, there was an angel that was given to that man. And that angel was calling out for help. Because that angel had been overcome, that man had been overcome by these angels that outranked him. So he's calling for help. One soul calling out for God. You know, the Bible says the blood has a voice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God knows when we have a need. He knows when we're in trouble. And across the sea in a mighty storm, all through those dangerous perils, as he went that night to save one soul and to heal one person. He came from one side of the lake through the storm all night long to the next day to the storm to get the great tide that night to heal one person. And one soul was in need over there. And we never have a record of anyone else being helped in that land of the Gadareans. But this one maniac, poor fella, I think of him being out there in that condition, perhaps one time a good citizen, a good man. Let's dramatize it a moment in his character. I can imagine seeing him as a fine fellow but the first thing you know, the crowd come along and got him to get away from church and to go away from God. The next thing you know, the devil had him on the next step and he started drinking. One drink, one devil. Just kept on backsliding, going away. And after a while, the devils drove him insane. And he must have been a terrible character. He lived out there in the rough places and they bind him with fetters. And he was twice as strong. He could break them little fetters and move out like there was nothing holding him. It wasn't his human strength. It was the devil's strength that was doing that. So it was the demons that had this man bound. That was their strength that was breaking those chains and those fetters. Maybe once in a while he'd come to himself. And he'd just look and say, what am I doing here? Look, there's chains all around him and things like that, and his body all cut up. Then the devil would throw him into a spell, and here he would go. Maybe he'd come again and think, I got a wife and children somewhere. And the first thing you know, the devil would pull him into another spell, and here he'd go. And he was a murderer. And if he could get to the people, he didn't know what he was doing. The devil was doing it. Whew. Wow. The influence that was on this man. And where did he get this influence from? From angels who had been part of the original family of angels. If pride can turn an angel into a devil, think what pride does to humans. Pride's a bad thing. Now, let's go back to Mark, and we were at the sixth verse. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Now, here was a man that had 2,000 devils, a man that drank, a murderer, but he had some religious devils on him too. And that's why he came and began to worship. And them religious devils, they're 7 times worse than any of the other ones. There's a lot of people, they say, well, I don't drink. I don't smoke, and I don't run around, and I don't lie, and I don't cuss, and I live a good life or whatever, but they got a religious spirit on them, and that's the worst kind of spirit you can have. That's what the prophet said. Verse 7, and he cried with a loud voice, singular. Now notice this, singular, one voice. And said, what have I to do with thee? Again, singular. Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God, I adjure thee. That means charge thee or solemnly implore thee before God that thou torment me not. Now, how could this man know that Jesus was Jesus, the Son of God? He didn't. It was that spirit that was on him that recognized who Jesus was. And no doubt he was, this one that was doing the speaking, was the chief of all the devils that was in this man. 2,000 of them. But one of them was the chief devil. He was the one that had the highest ranking. And that's the one that was the spokesman. That's the one that spoke to Jesus. Notice he had to be of high ranking for him to say the words, I adjure thee. For him to think he had some authority to adjure Jesus Christ. Now, I'll tell you something. If you think devils are afraid of me and you, you're wrong. Brother Branham says that just you jump, devils ain't afraid of you jumping around or getting excited and all that. He said that don't move them at all. But the anointed presence of the Holy Ghost abiding in you, that the devil's afraid of. Verse 8, for he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. So the unclean spirit was the one that was the chief of the 2,000 devils that was in this man. And he said, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he, singular, answered, saying, my name, singular, is Legion, for we, plural, are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Continue to hold your place there while I read to you a few more things. Now, devils like to hang in certain places. Devils of allergies and sinuses, they like to hang where it's humid and things. And they prefer, devils will prefer certain buildings and certain places. Brother Branham says this in the second coming of the Lord. He said, I love to have a meeting in the church. Many places we have them in stadiums and out and outdoors and in the arenas, but there's something different when you have it in the church. There seems to be that it's a sweeter, closer fellowship when you're in the church. Out there in those arenas, worldly places, an oppression like a demon power that you have to break through before the revival ever starts. He says again, uncertain sounds, that I think tomorrow night that we're going to some auditorium or something. I find the best meetings is always in the churches. When you go into these places where they have amusements and gambling and dances, and it looks to me like that, there's just little devils sitting around everywhere, you know, and they just kind of habitate. It's kind of a habitation for them, and they just stay there, and then you got to go in and take about 5 nights to preach all them out, you know, before you can get the meeting started. But in the church house, I believe the angels of God encamped around because of the saints gathering there. It's a noted place for God where he comes and meets with his people. And it always seemed kind of good to me to be in a church. I like it better. It seems like at home. Wonder why Brother Graham didn't say, now I prefer to be in the homes. I prefer us not going to church, just gathering in a home somewhere. Wonder why he didn't say that. Because that's not what he meant. And that ain't what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be assembling ourselves together. And he said, in a church, a place that's dedicated to God. Now, let's go back to Mark chapter 5. Now, there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. That's in verse 11. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked into the sea. Now, you remember as it goes on that the men and people of Gardea come out and ask Jesus to leave their coast, leave their place. It wasn't just over this one man being delivered. You think, why wouldn't they have been happy? This one man got delivered. Why wouldn't they be happy and tell him, hey, look, stay around with us a while? But it was because the economy of that area was raising pigs. And when Jesus sent them 2,000 devils into that swine and they ran off into the sea, it broke their economy. They wanted that man out of there. Now, the spokesman initially identified in the man an unclean spirit. When a casting come to casting him out, Jesus didn't cast out that one and leave 1,999 others. When Jesus delivers somebody, he casts out every demon. Amen. It's for all of them to go. And I'll tell you what, whichever one was boss in there, that's the hardest one to get to go. They don't want to turn loose. But these 2,000 spirits, and I told you, I spoke to you something about kindred spirits. These spirits had to be kindred spirits because there was 2,000 of them there. 2,000 of them had to get along with one another. And they were kindred spirits. 2,000 devils agreeing in one mind. You know, sometimes people get to thinking, well, maybe a person will say something about the church or something being preached. I don't agree with that. And somebody else will say, you know what? I think you're right. I don't either. And they'll say, well, two's a witness. Must be the Lord. There was two of us agreed in one. I don't mean it was God. Evil spirits can agree. I just meant it they were birds of feather. Brother Bram says, this is in Expectations. He says, those are demon powers, not demons of your soul, but a demon of your body. Brother Baxter explained all that to you. And when they come against that, they fear. If you notice, one will be healed or something, and then a kindred spirit of sympathy out there will be scared to take out of the person. Sure, they know when they're whipped. Now, I spoke about it, said a kindred spirit. Now, a fallen angel can have sympathy for another fallen angel. They don't have sympathy for you, but they have sympathy for one another. And Brother Ram says they'll call out to one another in the meetings. You know, he said he'd like to gather in the church. And he said because the angels of God were camped there. So how them evil spirits get in there? They come in with the people. Somebody, I'm not trying to be bad, maybe somebody's got cancer. When they come in there, that evil spirit that's there anointing that those cells to turn that way, that evil spirit is there. And they were there in the meetings. But remember, there was the prophet of God standing there and an angel there with him. And those, he could look into that other realm and see those spirits as they moved. And he would call them at times dark shadows. And they would have different forms they would take. Now, someone could be healed in a meeting and go out and say, well, praise God, I'm healed. Then you get out there and that spirit's still waiting. And a spirit of fear come and get that person to being fearful. And whatever they got healed from can come right back. What is it? It's just an evil spirit. But faith will drive them away. Faith is something that we, it's not tangible in our way of thinking, but it's powerful in the spiritual realm. Manifestation of the Spirit, Brother M says, how do you do, sister? Our master is lovely, isn't he now? Now, I don't know at this time what's wrong with you, but you're a believer. And there's something out in the audience pulling the same way. Now it's a kindred spirit. And it's something moving the same thing that you have. See, spirits are kindred. just like you heard birds of feather. See, they go together, and demon powers, demonology works the same way. Then in a message of Queen of Sheba, he says, "Lady, I suppose that we have never met before all our life. Now, here, listen. There's a spirit. Oh, if you just stay long enough in the meeting till you get this little superstition away from you." Huh. So, having some kind of superstitious or strange feeling of doom or whatever, it's a spirit. I know you think you're believing, and you are partially, but just watch. Here, watch quickly. There's something wrong with this woman. What's wrong with the woman sitting right there? The same thing. You have trouble in your leg that you want me to pray for. You have the same. You were sitting there wondering when this woman walked up there, a real strange feeling come to you. If that's right, that's right. See, what was it? It was the same spirit, demon, was tormenting this woman, was tormenting that, and tormenting that man sitting back there looking at me too with leg trouble. All right? If you'll believe with all your heart, see what he's doing? That's a kindred spirit. He knows that the Spirit of God is present, and he is scared. Now, there are at times devils that have resided in a person for quite some time, maybe many years, and then they get cast out. And it's just like a person getting evicted from their home. They get mad. They've been there a while. They've made themselves comfortable in that home, that body, that vessel. You know, they've done things to make themselves comfortable there. And then all of a sudden they get evicted. And they ain't happy about it. And but now they walk up before the prophet of God, whose eyes, like I said, see in that fourth dimension. And he would see the movement and working of those demons in that dimension and would call them out. This is in the book of Exodus, chapter 2, what Brother Bram's message he's speaking in 1955. How do you do? Now, there's that same dark spirit. Be reverent, everybody. Don't move around. Please don't. See, these things go from one to another. What I'm doing, you don't realize it. When cancer leaves, it's going somewhere else. It sure is. And I can't hold it if you're moving. So Brother Branham can actually hold that spirit of cancer from going into somebody else and actually get it cast out of there as long as the people were not moving and being reverent. But he says, I can't hold it when you go to moving around. That's why it's very important to be reverent. When you see people up here getting prayed for, be real reverent. Don't be thinking about, well, about time to get out of church and where we're going to go eat and all that, or messing around with this, that, and the other. Just be real reverent. Think about if that was you up there getting prayed for. And while we're there and we're singing or whatever the song leader's leading us, then just stay real reverent. And maybe in your heart just praying, Lord, I don't know what that sister's up there for, but Lord, if it was me, I'd want a touch from you. Touch her, Lord. And just stay like that. I can't tell you where it's going. It's a dark shadow. There's a cancer hanging over this woman right now. It's a dark shadow. If that shadow leaves her, how do I know what's wrong? It's by vision. I see that dark death hanging around that woman. and she's sure to die if God don't help her. Well, when he leaves here, he's angry. He's put out. He will find a place to go if he can. You know that's the truth. You remember in the Bible many times, somebody was trying to cast out an epileptic spell, and you know what? Who didn't really have authority to do it? Remember in a meeting, Brother Branham was asking people to be reverent one time, and he was casting a spirit of epilepsy out of this boy. And there was some people, about 25 of them, I believe it was, that came from this one church, and they'd come in there, and then their minister was with them, was there to try to prove Brother Branham wrong, try to prove it was mental telepathy or something. And they didn't remain reverent, and they didn't remain there with their heads bowed and their eyes closed. And when that Brother Branham warned them, I think it was twice he warned them, and they wouldn't listen. Brother Branham says, "All right. Now it's on you what happens." And then he cast that epileptic spirit out of that boy, and it went up there, and all 25 of them fell out in epileptic fits. You know that there are spirits that get cast out while we're preaching by the word of God. Some evil spirit that's been bothering you all week, and during the preaching of the word, and that spirit will have to take leave. So it's important that you stay reverent during the service, because when that spirit's told to go by the word, it's going to look for someplace else to go. Brother Branham says this, and blind Bartimaeus says, "You can go out that door the same. You can't go out that door the same person. You're in the presence of God. You'll either go out that door a better man or woman, or worse by rejecting." Think about how much worse somebody goes out if they're being there, like those 25 people I mentioned. They went out worse than they came in. And the angel of God, he says here about devils following the meetings. Said, "I want everybody's close attention. If there's an unbeliever, don't stay in the building now. I'm not a preacher. I come to pray for the sick. And everything must be real reverent. Now, you mothers, get your children close to you. You know what happens. You've seen the meetings here. Sometimes these demons come right out and go right out into this people. And they just go from one to another. And they follow meeting after meeting, trying to get into the prayer line." So there was demons that would follow his meetings. I told you, when there's a move of God happening, Satan is there trying to bring a hindrance. Trying to watch my time here. Brother Bram talked about different places. I've got some quotes down here, but he talked about how that the demons beyond the people, when one was getting ready to get cast out, he would call out for help from another one. And Brother Branham says they would scream and pull one to another. Now those that were there in the meetings, they couldn't hear those devils screaming. But that prophet of God there, being able to be in touch with that fourth dimension, could actually hear those demons screaming. And he would, when it would happen, Brother Branham many times would say, this devil over here is screaming, it's pulling to this one over here. It's afraid, he said, that person's going to begin to believe. That always strikes me when I read that. He's afraid you're going to begin to believe. Now he says, there's evil spirits moving in the audience. It's coming to this woman sitting here, standing here now. Just a moment, the spirit's screaming for help. Well, Well, at least these spirits, these evil spirits know when to lick, know when to call for help. Sometimes we wait until we're in such an all-out mess before we call for help. Look, there's no shame in calling for help. If you need help, there's no shame in calling for help. I'll tell you something. I'm just human. I'm just a man, just a human like y'all are. But God's placed me here, and God put a gift in my life that I was born with. And he put me here for you. I'm not here for myself. I come in contact with a man here the other day, and he found out I was from West Virginia, and he was from West Virginia, and he says, I just can't get enough of that place. I go back there whenever I can. I said, same here. I'm not here for myself. I'm satisfied being here because God put me here. And I'd never leave my family. My family's put down roots pretty deep around here. And so from now on, I guess we're just Tennesseans. But I'm here for you is what I'm saying. And so when you got a need, don't hesitate. Text me, call me, whatever it is. You know, if you not sure, sometimes people say, well, I don't know if you're doing something, I don't want to bother you. Then just send me a text and tell me to call you as soon as I can. And I will. Now he said these spirits are pulling to one another. And it's moving between the woman. And now have faith, lady, both of you, because you're right now on the decision ground. Now who decides whether that evil spirit leaves or not? Not the evil spirit. Not the angels of God. You do. You do. By believing, it'll make that spirit leave. Imagine in the services, and I'm going to have to close here. Imagine in the services, Brother Branham says, let me read this one quote to you here. He says, he's praying. He said, we can expect God to do most anything at any time because the presence of the angels of God who are commissioned by him to watch us and care for us. And now, Father, we pray that the angel of God will take their place tonight by the side of each believer and all around through the building. You can't see it. There's angels standing all around in here today, this morning. Why? God sent them here because even in this city of Dixon, which in a lot of places seem like they've been cast out and nobody, sometimes people don't care for us, but God does. Sometimes people don't, some places don't think too highly of you when you say you're from Dixon. But God thinks highly of you. And he's got his angels round about you right now in here this morning. And can you imagine in a service, any given service, angels of God standing there by the people. And maybe an evil spirit saying, no, you can't have that. Don't believe that. That ain't for you. And there's an angel over beside saying, it's for you. Go ahead, reach out, believe. When you feel sometimes just a little something move on you and it says, go be prayed for. Well, that ain't no evil spirit. That's an angel of God moving on you, saying, go ahead, go be prayed for. Hallelujah. Well, we got to save something else to preach later on. All right. brothers and them would come to instruments, and I want to read just a couple more places here, and we'll close. This is from the beginning. It wasn't so. Brother Bram said, cancer. Now, just a moment, that hideous thing. And there's another demon like that here screaming out. And a woman's shadow with a darker shadow. But that spirit of cancer screaming to something else for help, and it's another cancer laying on that cot. He thought he'd get by with it, but he didn't. Here in the message of influence of another says, the angels of God are encamped around about those who fear him. They don't only just come and visit them. They stake their tents down. I like that. He said, they don't just come and visit, but they're encamped. They make camp. They put their tents down, he said. And the angels of God are encamped about those who fear his name. They stay there day and night. He said, like the old brother sang the song, the angels keep watching over me. Amen. You know that song, Brother Jimmy? Well, I'll start to sing it. I'm sure you'll pick it up. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Now I lay me down to sleep, angels watching over me, my Lord. I pray the Lord my soul to keep, angels watching over me. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. The sun's a setting in the west, angels watching over me, my Lord. Sleep, my child, take your rest, angels watching over me. All night, all day. Watching over me.
is good all the time.
Let's be dismissed this time. We'll have Brother Gene to